Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Our brother Russell Goodman will be the speaker at our second service, and I think that has changed, but I'm not sure. We will, as usual, have our 2 p.m. service at Pacific Hills Manor, and all are invited to participate. This afternoon at 3 p.m., our brother Greg Tomlinson will be teaching the class on church history, and at 4 p.m., Pastor Otero will be teaching from the book of Ecclesiastes on how we should live in this present age. At our evening worship service, Pastor Otero will continue the teaching on the series, The Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And Pastor will be speaking on Jesus Christ, the Day of the Lord, from the book of Joel. Final note, we will have our quarterly congregational business meeting directly following this morning worship service, and you're all encouraged to attend that meeting. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 18, verse 32, and Psalm 28, verse 7. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. We will be singing the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, and so let us begin now our worship with hymn number 36, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Continue our worship now with hymn number 75, Abide With Me.
Thank you.
Please stand now as we sing hymn number 176, Break Thou the Bread of Life.
Look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of our High Priest, the Lord Jesus. And we know, Father, that you hear us because you hear your Son. And Father, as a church body, our first words and prayers are words of praise because we have a message to tell people about it. The Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah of the Old Testament has come, has died in Calvary cross to pay for our sin, and is resurrected at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Oh, Father, as we review different points in the Scripture, and as we look to Jesus from different angles, help us always to concentrate in that valuable information that he died for us. And he rose again, and he's at the right hand of the Father. And because he is in heaven, we can pray, and he intercedes for us. And we pray that as we broadcast this service over the internet and over radio, as we preach, and as we sing praises, and as the choir prays you, O Father, and as our brother read the Scripture, we pray that we here in the auditorium be blessed and be touched and be changed because of thy word. Lord, we always can learn. We always can treasure in our heart a word that our brother or sister is saying when it's based upon the Scripture. And we pray that today again, we will open the Scripture and offer the comfort and the encouragement and the power of God to those in need, include myself, O God. Father, we are grateful that you provide an outlet outside the building here through the internet and through the radio ministry and through the tape ministry. And we are grateful for many congregations that are meeting in homes, listening to our broadcast, listening through our tape ministry, and having fellowship with you, O Father, because of our service. There is no greater joy for me as a pastor to know that many, many people are worshiping you, O God, because of our service. Father, in a sense, we are nothing. Without you, we cannot exist. And so we give you the glory and the praise and the honor because you are our mighty God. You are the motivation of our life. You are the one who uplifted us in difficult moments and in good moments. You are the one who are the center of our life. And we in love say, thank you, Father, because one day you give us a light and life and love to love you. Now, Father, we do have within our families people who need the touch of your presence and the touch of your power. And we pray for Judy Plica. She is in recovery from this very serious surgery, back surgery. Lord, we pray that you will bless her with the strength, that you will give her the recovery that she needs in order to pursue again life. Lord, I was last week with my daughter, hoping that I will travel back with my wife. You have different plans than I have. And you know, Father, that I cry. And you know that I ask you for help. And you know that I humble myself before your sovereignty. And I learned that planning is just a matter of hours, not a matter of days. And I learned that you are a sovereign God, that you do as you please. But Father, I pray for my daughter that her immune system be stable, that her chemical system be stable, and that this girl will recover and be again a mother, a wife, and a wonderful girl who works in her church life. Lord, you are a God who answers prayer. And the book of Psalms, over and over, David said, you have answered my prayer. And Lord, I have to say, you will answer this prayer because you are a God who answers prayer. Lord, we are praying also for Pastor Van Dyken, and I have in the trip time to talk to people, and I talk to him, and he is preaching today in a church in Modesto. And Father, he's recovering, this godly man, this man who feared God at the age of 83 is preaching the word of the living God, and we in the church are looking forward to see him on our anniversary day. And he told me that he is just so delighted to come and to preach with us and to be with us and celebrate with us our 20th anniversary. Thank you, Lord, that we have friends like Pastor Van Dyken, and strengthen him, guide him, and protect him so that he can be still use of you till the end of his life. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to have a great summer, and now we start afresh again another year. And Lord, we look forward to be the church that evangelizes, the church that brings comfort, the church that proclaim your word without being ashamed. And Father, I pray for the strength in my life and for a total rededication of my commitment to you as a pastor, so that your name will shine across the nation. And when the people visit this place or listen to our broadcast, they will know that there is a God and there is a Savior called Jesus Christ. So, Father, now also I want to thank you for this congregation who is so loving to me, so in care of myself and my family. I want to thank you, Lord, for the great love that we have created, you have created in the life of the people here at Bethel, and for the wonders of that love, this pastor is encouraged. And so, Father, the support of this church is overwhelming. And so I want to thank you for the offering and for the giver and for those who dedicate themselves to support our ministry. Father, we do have missionaries, and we pray for Fred and Carol Lewis, for Carol and Ruth and Knott, for Eusebio and Maritza Perez, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, for Ruben Zacher, for Marta Paretti, and for Daniel Lacey, who is preparing himself to another race in the sharing of his ministry. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray like this. And thank you, Lord, for the sports center here in the city of San Jose, reaching the young people to let them know that through sports we can shine for Christ Jesus. And there is a Savior called Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for his name, for his work, and for his glory. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. You may be seated. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking.
at the moment of the offertory, and I'd like you to know that we do have a great event coming up, and that is October the 6th, the first Sunday on October. On that day, our church will celebrate 20 years of existence. We still a humble church. We still a church that is nothing to compare to big churches. But when we talk about 20 years of ministry, a church that started in my living room and developed in a bank building, and now with properties shining at the crossroad of Highway 101 and Tennant Avenue in the city of Morgan Hill, with the radio broadcast, the internet connection. How we thank you, Father, for all of this. And I pray you will enable each one of us to be here, present that day. It will be a great dinner afterward, a great praises to your name, a service of praise. And also I want the people to know that this Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, September 11, our church will have a service of remembrance. And let us remember those who innocent lives were lost, and pray for the families who were left behind. I encourage you to come at 7:30. May God bless you. May God touch you with His presence, His power, and His glory. Amen.
Across extended,
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 429. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good things, good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Blessed is God's word. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your mercy in sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to bear our sins in his own body, for dying and paying the penalty that is due us. We thank you for your word, the Bible, that so clearly has spoken of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ so many centuries before his incarnation. What a great comfort to know that you are the God of history and that all things worked together for good for those that love you. We pray, Father, that you will prosper the work of proclaiming good tidings, your gospel of reconciliation, so that enslaved sinners may be set free. We pray now for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, and ask your blessing upon him, so that your word will be fully exposed and heard with understanding, so that our faith would be strengthened, and that any believers listening would come to faith and be saved. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother, and it's a pleasure, again, to look upon God's Word this morning. And before I do so, I want you to know that you have received a church bulletin with three inserts, very important inserts. One is from our brother Daniel, who has, I encouraged him to prepare it, and he did it and printed in his own printer, and so that we know what a race car is, what a trash slam is. I don't know those things, what NASCAR is, and what all these names that they are so familiar to races. And so he took some of the pictures that he took during his training and during his work, and they are there. And I want you to read them home and keep it so that you can pray for him. And if the Lord leads you, you can support the ministry. Also, there is an insert from me to you. I prepared yesterday. This coming Wednesday, we will have a day to remember in America. And we're going to praise God. We're going to pray. And pastor's going to preach out of Psalm 55 in difficult times. What the scripture tell us difficult times can do in our life, and we want to honor God as well. And there is an insert from the ladies' ministry as they renew their commitment to a new year of Bible study. And I hope
that you look into that in your home and you commit yourself to the ministries of our church. Not too long ago, I started in June the series of four sermons on Christ Jesus. There is nothing more joyful than to preach about Jesus Christ our Lord. And I preached my first sermon on remembering the divine nature of Christ. He is God. And then our second sermon was remembering the human nature of Christ. He's our high priest. We no longer are in need of a man who intercedes for God. He is the one who fulfilled the office of Melchizedek of the Old Testament, and he's at the right hand of God. Now today, I'd like to present to you again Jesus. And in order for you to understand it, it's so theological, this sermon. It's so deep in theology that I don't like to preach like that. When I'm with the students in seminaries, yes, but not in a congregational setting. And so I will try to do this heavy, deep theological study of the incarnation of Jesus in the Old Testament from a practical point of view. Now, I want you to turn to John 1:1. It occurs to me as I was sitting here looking to you, so how can I explain the congregation the pre-incarnate state of Jesus in a way that will make sense to you? Now, this passage of John 1:1 is very familiar to you, and of course is a very simple passage, but perhaps will give a clue of what we are going to do and looking into the pre-incarnate state of our Lord, the Jesus in the Old Testament. In John 1:1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Jesus Christ did not start on December the 25th in Bethlehem. That's what that verse says. When we celebrate Christmas, we actually celebrate, yes, the birth of Jesus, but he did not start life then. The Bible said he was the Word. And as you know, in verse 14, it said the Word became flesh. So it's talking about Jesus. The Word was with God. And if Jesus was with God, then what was he doing? Was he inactive, sitting, waiting for that precise moment in which God would allow him to zero in humanity and through the Holy Virgin Mary and come into life? Certainly not. He was very, very, very active. In order to demonstrate this, there is a prerequisite that you need to know. You know, when you take in the college studies, if you're going to take Math 103, you first take Math 101, 102, and then 103. Is that right? And so here is Math 101. The name of Jesus in the Old Testament is hinder or hide it between the word Lord. Okay, let me show you one thing, and you know this in our church, but for the sake of those who are not familiar, in Exodus, the second book of the Bible, in chapter 3, in verse 14, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, Moses is asking God for a little identification card. He says, if I go to the people of Israel, and I tell them that I am the commander-in-chief, I am the chief justice, I am the man who will lead the nation, will you print for me a little card so I can pass it down and they know? And God did, at verse 14 of Exodus 3, he said, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am." You heard many times through different teachers that the word I am is the word Yahweh, which we later on translated in the word Jehovah. I am who I am. And he said, "Thus shall say unto the children of Israel, Yahweh, Jehovah, has sent me unto you." There is only one person in the whole history of the world that took that word Yahweh, Jehovah, for himself. And it's found now in the Gospel of John in chapter 8 and verse 58. And if you move your Bible now to the Gospel of John, 8:58, Jesus is concluding a series of teachings and reference to his person. And Jesus then challenged the Jew openly and eye to eye. And look at what he says. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, Yahweh, I am. And then, if somebody will tell you that today, is that before Abraham was, I am, you look to the person, but no, the Jew. Look at verse 59. Then took they up stones and cast at him. You know why? Because Jesus was saying, I am the I am of the Old Testament. I am Yahweh. I am Jehovah. And so I want you to keep in, that in perspective. Only the King James Version had treasured that wonderful news under the capital letters of the word Lord. Each time you have the word Lord in capital letters, it is a treasure. In the Spanish Bible, the word Yahweh is spelled just exactly as was in the Old Testament, because there is no replacement for that name of God. Now keep that in mind, because that will be the instrument that we will see as we look upon the Old Testament. Our brother have read Isaiah chapter 40 in page 429. Isaiah chapter 40. And Isaiah chapter 40, page 429 in our Bible, it starts with a remarkable words that when you need it, become very, very proper. I need it desperately, and I never knew that I will need these words today as never before in my life when I prepare the sermon month and month ahead. Because I've been in radio, I write my church sermons about a year ahead as I did when I was in radio. And I never knew that this was just for me. Look at the words, comfort ye, my people, say the Lord. And I going to preach to you today Christ in the Old Testament, and at the end of the service, at the end of the sermon, I will come back to this verse. I will be back to this verse and attach this verse to the comfort that we have as we see Jesus in the Old Testament. Are you ready? It's a little fast, the sermon, because it has many comparatives. Now, Jesus in the Old Testament appear as Abraham's visitor, and that's on the first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 18. Turn over there to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 1. Jesus in the Old Testament appears as Abraham's visitor. In chapter 18 of Genesis, in verse 1, we read, and the Lord, remember what I told you before, those capital letters of the word Lord, Jehovah, no Elohim. The King James had done remarkably, those translators had done remarkably clues. When the word Elohim is translated, they put the word God. And when the word Jehovah is translated, they put Lord in capital letters. And the Lord Jehovah appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. The Lord came and appeared. Jehovah appeared to him. Now, a confirmation of this, you put one hand in Genesis, because I'm going to be back here soon. You move your Bible to Acts chapter 7, page 643, Acts chapter 7, in verse 2. Then you have here the confirmation that Jesus appeared to Abraham. And we read in Acts 7, page 643, and in verse 2, and let me read verse 1. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And this is Stephen, one of the deacons of the church, answering to the justice department for his faith. And his answer was, And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, Shema, please. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in the Mesopotamia. So let's go back to Genesis now. Genesis chapter 18. Stephen, the New Testament correlate that the appearance to Abraham was Jehovah God who appeared to Abraham, the pre-incarnate form of the Lord Jesus. Now, for what reason did Jesus appear to Abraham? Well, you know the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, the father of our life, and Isaac and Jacob, Abraham was promised a son. You remember that Abraham, God said, leave the city of Ur, where he was a businessman, a very rich businessman. Leave you and your wife and your family and go to the land that I will tell you. That's in Genesis 13. And then Abraham did, and carry with him his nephew Lot. And he said, I will make out of your loins, out of your life, a great nation. And Abraham grew older. How old? 40? That's difficult to have children at 40 for ladies, 45, 50. Abraham is 99. And God is still talking to Abraham, and he's saying to Abraham, Sarah is 90, he's 99. He said, you will be the father of many nations. And is that for discouragement? You know, I'm 66 to be 67 in January, and I run like crazy in the gym, and I twisted my knee here very bad to the point, like soccer, that twisted to the other side. So I asked one guy, look, this is very simple. I hold myself, close my eyes, twist the leg on the other side, and we'll go in place. And everybody was so scared to death, so I had to run to a chiropractor to do it. And then I had to get a lot of liquid to soften, all right? And then there is an inflammation. There is blood over there that needs to go out and so on. At 66, imagine at 99. And God said, Abraham, I just love you. You will be the father of many nations. You will shine like the splendor of the glory of God. 99. So God, I don't blame Abraham for being discouraged. I don't blame you, I don't blame me, when we know that God answered our prayers and we pray and there is no answer. And we get discouraged. I don't blame you, but I tell you what God did. God came down. He knew Abraham's heart. Remember, God said at one time in chapter 17, he said, I know that when I give him children, he will teach my children the way of the Lord. I know his heart. He's a great guy. He's a little discouraged. And I'm going to go down and explain to him what I can do for him. Look at now in Genesis 18, 14. This is the summary of God's appearance. Verse 13 said, and Jehovah said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which I'm old? And he said to Abraham, Abraham, sit down. Look to my face. Look to my eyes. Look to me, Abraham. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I stopped coming down driving. I enjoy. I made it in 12 hours. Drink about 5 bottles of water. No stop, just come. I say, stop on the sideway. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm so discouraged. I'm going to ask you this. Is anything too hard for you? Look, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Abraham, don't try to be God. Abraham, don't try to think looking down like Solomon did in Ecclesiastes. Abraham, if you read Ecclesiastes, you have a word more than 28 times, under the sun. Under the sun. And the things, when you look down, they look impossible, complicated. and sometimes devastating. But God said, I'm God, Abraham. I'm God. At my time, when I want it, when I'm pleased, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do with you. And so God appeared to Abraham and the person of the Lord Jesus as the God of the impossible. Now, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. The God of the impossible. In his pre-incarnate form, Jesus revealed himself to a man and he said, I'm the God of the impossible. The only thing is, I do things according to my time and according to my pleasure. Now there are two more appearances of, actually three, of the Lord Jesus, and I flip with you. One is called the Angel of God. It is in, you're in Genesis. Go to Exodus 23, please. Exodus 23, verse 20 and verse 21. And this is called the Angel of God. Chapter 23, verse 20. In verse 21 of the book of Exodus. And behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name's sake is in him. I send thee an angel of God. And don't fool around with him. God is saying to Moses, don't fool around with him. Don't try to argue with him. Don't discuss his saying. Don't even question what he said. Just follow him because he's there to protect you. Look again in verse 20. I send an angel before thee to keep thee. Now the word to keep. It is the word to put an edge all around about you. That psalm talks about God have made an edge about my life. The psalm is talking about God has set boundaries around me that nobody can touch me. And so the angel of the God appeared unto Moses and said, don't be afraid, take the walk, go to Kadesh Barnea because I'm there with you and I'm going to set an edge around you. But don't fool yourself. If you disobey me, you're in trouble. You are at the mercy of circumstances. So look at verse 21. Beware of the angel. Say God, beware of the angel. He said, and obey his voice and provoke him not. I never thought about it that when I disobey God, I'm provoking Jesus. You know, when you are in need, your eyes of your intelligence opens up and you see things that you never saw before. And I saw that verse and I said, look at this, provoke him not. For he is not going to fool around with you. He's in business. He's going to lead you from point A to point B, and he's going to lead you. He's going to tell you things and to do things that you don't understand. Just follow him. Follow him. He knows what he's doing. Do not fool around. Do not let Satan entertain in your mind thoughts why this happened to me. Do not let Satan say, Lord, for how long I have to be in this way? Lord, what's the next step? What's ahead of us? What do you want me to do with my life? Just follow him, serve him, and move with him, and he will lead you. The God who protects you. Jesus. Jesus. The angel of God. And then there is a familiar expression in the Bible, which is called the angel of the Lord. This is the most of the time appearance of Jesus. It's found in Exodus, you're in 23. Go back to chapter 3 of Exodus. It's just appearing to Moses at the very beginning. You remember the Moses was a man that... He knew. He was very intelligent. He was very educated. He was the elite of the science people in Egypt. He studied in the best universities of Egypt. He was the next pharaoh in line for the Egyptian empire. And then God called him. And so he knew that he is going to be used of God. But he makes his move. as I said, he rather doing the following of the angel of God, he just made his move and killed an Egyptian, and he got in trouble in the civil court, and he got to flee for his life for 40 years. And now Moses is trained. He learned to be humble. He learned to respect God. He learned to honor God. And God said, I'm going to use that man again. And then God comes down in Exodus chapter 3. And in verse 1 reads, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord, here's the word, the angel, Malak Yahweh. The angel of the Lord said, the angel of the Lord, he's just working. He's in his daily work. You never know when the Lord is going to touch you. I'm against those who said, now, be saved now. Come on. Who are we to say, be saved now? But we say, be saved. We can say, the Bible said, now is the time acceptable before God. And the Bible said, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire on the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And verse 3 said, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that they burned, that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is a holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to see God. Jesus appeared to Moses in the person of God. This Moses was such a genius. This Moses was such a self-commanding man. You know when some people have gifts all over their life? Very dangerous. Because once you move in your own, you made a mistake. You know your gift. But there are people who are overwhelmed with gifts. Whether that gift is in a study or in a speaking or in doing thing. And once you use those gifts under your own scientific criteria, you make a boo-boo. And the only way that that person will know that how to use those gifts is when God himself is standing in front of him and say, compare yourself to me, you're nothing. And that's what God did. Is our God so merciful? And so gracious. He comes and said to Moses, Moses. And Moses, you saw the verse. In verse 2, the Lord appeared. And look in verse 3. Moses said, now I'm going to analyze this. I'm going to take a piece of wood and take it to my lab and see what happened. Look at verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burning. He's not saying maybe God is here. He's a science man. He said, I'm going to take a piece of this thing and I'm going to take it to my lab and I'm going to study what in the world happened. And before that happened, God said, I'm God. Stand right there. Don't move. Don't move. Is God gracious? He was a believer because in verse 6, he hid his face. And he said, oh, wow. Oh, wow. The person of God. When you really want to see God, take time to read the scripture. You're going to meet God. You're going to meet God. I keep saying to you, read the book of Proverbs, and you're going to meet God. May I give you another hint? Read 5 Psalms a day, times 30, that's 150 Psalms. You will read the book of Psalms every month. Do it for a year, and you will meet God. Well, we don't have time. That happened to me, happened to you. So God comes and burn a burning bush, and burn everything you have. And then you say, I have time. I'm going to read it. That happened to the believers. It happened to me. And you have time. You get up half hour early, or you take another of those big horse pills in, and they wake up yourself. Remember, I told this story. I told a veterinarian, what do you give a horse when it's born? This, or give me a bottle. And you run. You don't get tired. Tremendous. The person will go, have you met God? And you're never going to have the experience of Moses, the voice from someplace telling you, I'm God. But you have your Bible. That's the voice of God. We in this church, in this tiny congregation, we do believe that the Bible is the voice of God. And because we believe it, we uphold the Bible as number one. But we are so busy that we lose time. And God, where are you? What do you want to tell me? Just read it. Read it. Read it. There will be a verse that goes, I'm here. I'm here. I never thought that when I prepare Isaiah 40, the word come for ye will be just for me. God. Then one more, please. In the book of Joshua, which is page 143, in the book of Joshua, in chapter 5, and in verse 13. Look at in Joshua 5. You remember Joshua is the one who followed Moses. And Joshua is the one who takes the command of 6 million people to do the impossible, to cross the Jordan and liberate the land for Israel. And in chapter 5, verse 13, we read, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversary? Now remember, Joshua was a commander in chief. He don't fool around like today, commanders and presidents. Well, do you have these? Do you have the other? They went black and white. Are you for me or against me? In other words, today you hear the news that the guy has three ballistics. And listen, are you for us or against us? If you are against us, we wipe you off. And so he doesn't know who he is. He's a man, all right? And look at the answer, verse 14. And he said, nay, but the captain of the horse of the host of Jehovah. That's another name for the incarnated presence of Jesus. As a captain of the host of Jehovah. And I have come to you. And Joshua fell on his face to earth. And did worship and said unto him, what said my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standing is holy. And here's the secret of Joshua's life. And Joshua did so. He appeared unto Joshua as the God of holiness. He has to battle. He has to break those walls of Jericho. German tanks and all kinds of missiles are in Jericho, an impossible city to take. And God said, forget about the material things of this world and think for a moment, I'm holy and I want you to be holy. If we're going to break through a crisis, we rather than question ourselves why this and how we're going to do this, we rather say, God, look to me. Whatever is unholy, please, God, I cry, reveal it to me so that we can kick it off from our life and walk with you holy. I did that. I had many stops for 10, 15 minutes with no food, just water. I took a fast of 2 days so that I can look into my life and I say, God, whatever is a garbage, please reveal it to me and I take it away so that you can use me. The God of power. You know the rest of this story. Joshua goes into Jericho. He never fired a shot. He goes seven times, the walls come down, he takes over, and he takes over one city, another city, and the book of Joshua tells us that he delivered to Israel all the land that God promised. But before we conquer, we need to be holy. Before we see the blessing, we need to be clean. Before we see the glory, we need to humble ourselves and say, God, in this wall I carry on for so long, they have a lot of garbage. Please take, help me to take it off from my life. Cause me to drop it so that I can please you. The rest is history. When we do that, the rest is history. You need a house, you need a job, you need this. It's nothing. That is nothing. When we say, God, look to me, cleanse me, then the rest is history. God manifests himself. The pre-incarnated state of the Lord Jesus. As I've given you a summary of my 75-point sermon that I preached in the seminary on the Jesus I love, was the title. Now, look, remember Isaiah 40 and verse 1. Come for ye. Only have one question. One question only. Is this Jesus in his pre-incarnate state the same Jesus today? If you look in Isaiah 40 and in verse 8, it says the grass passes away, but my word will stand forever. Is this Jesus who comes and said to Abraham, I'm the God of the impossible? Is this Jesus who said to Moses, I'm your protector, please don't fool around? Is this Jesus who comes and said to the nation of Israel, I am the person of God itself? Is this Jesus who said to Joshua, I'm holy, don't look for any other element in your life in order to conquer the future. I'm holy. And when you are holy, the future falls in your hands. Is this Jesus the same? You know the answer. Let's go to Hebrews, page 710. Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 8. You know the answer. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. The Bible says, no me, no theology, no somebody else. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 8, page 710, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and tomorrow and forever. Family of God, come for you. I was so stressed, they almost called Ramil to preach today. I had no power to preach. When unexpected failure came on the way on the healing of my daughter. But I got power in my own sermon and in my own God. I pass it on to you. Whatever crisis is in your home, don't look to the crisis. Look to a God who is the God of the impossible. Look to a God who is able to bring comfort. Look to a Christ who said, I'm God, be holy. That's the only worry you need to have. And that's enough. The only thing I want you to worry is about one thing, be holy, and the rest, just trust me, I'm God. Thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you. You healed my soul. I was in need of that healing. I hope you heal the souls of many today to know that you are a God of comfort. Thank you, Jesus, for being a God of comfort. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
To walk upon this guilty sod. gift of love they crucify. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud, and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side. To be led by your staff and rod, and to be called the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb.
Please. Father, we humble ourselves before you. As the quartet says, the Lamb of God. What a powerful God we have. And what a feeble nature is ours, that when we look down, is good for nothing. Comfort these people. Comfort me. We got a God who is greater than ourselves. We got a Savior that is greater than our circumstances. Glorify yourself in our life, that we be holy as you are holy. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.